running unopposed. So the family, after Jackie Johnson, really kept them at arm's length, lied to them, and did all the other mischievous things to try to protect Gregory McMichael, who was one of the killers, the father of Travis McMichael. And Gregory McMichael, having had worked for Jackie Johnson in her office, having served as a police officer down in that county, Gregory McMichael, believed, called Jackie Johnson for information, for advice on what to do. And that is when Jackie Johnson tells the police officers not to arrest them, tells Gregory McMichael and Travis and everyone else to go wipe the blood off your hands, clean yourself up. This is at the scene of the murder, Barbara. This is at the scene of the killing.
Outrageous.
So this is why it's incredibly important that she be brought to justice. That because, as an elected prosecutor, you are to serve everyone, and you are to serve them in a way that is dignified, in a way that is, encumbered by your office, that your office dictates to you to protect and to serve. That didn't happen here, Barbara. That's the reason we're headed down there.
And, and people, just think about this, everybody. You watch CSI, crime scene investigation. You know how important it is after there's been a murder, a horrible, horrific crime, that someone is collecting the evidence, taking the pictures, testing for, blood stains, so you can figure out the blood splatter, how shots were done, who's affected, the homes. Come on now. When he shot that shotgun, some of those bullets went through people's homes, through their walls. That's how powerful that weapon was. And you have, people collecting that information, getting eyewitness statements, all of that. She stopped. And there was no investigation done for weeks until the video was leaked, until the video finally was presented to the public. Until that time, the investigation, the eyewitness interviews, all of that was stopped. Did not happen. That's how negligent this was. This was not just a one-minute emotional decision. This was weeks of not prosecuting, not investigating, not doing what needed to be done. Right, Daryl? I mean, that's where the sin. I mean, you're talking about a crime. The crime of killing Ahmaud is one thing, but the crime of helping to cover it up, the death of a young black man, lies and inaction, just there's nothing that you can say about it. It's just outrageous.
And it was all of that, Barbara, that really led the family to do a petition to get another name on the ballot to run against Jackie.
Right.
And as a result of them getting those names, getting that on the petition, and working with the candidate, for the first time in Glynn County's history, an incumbent prosecutor was defeated. But they didn't stop there, Barbara. And that's why we call it the family of determination. They want 100% justice for Ahmaud. They got the three killers.
Yes.
Now they want the prosecutor that also played a role in it. That's when they'll believe they'll have 100% justice for Ahmaud. And one of the big things that I look for from this hearing and this trial, Barbara, is closure. I believe that the prosecution of Jackie Johnson will bring some measure of closure to the Arbery family. They'll never have Ahmaud back. They'll never have him back. But this will bring some measure of closure. They can close the book and say, "Son, I've done justice as best we can on this earth."
Amen. Last night, I was talking to Marcus Arbery, and we had a call with several people, and Kimberly Cummings, who's also one of the Arbery aunts, was also on the call, and so were many other activists in the community, and we were just talking about this coming hearing on Wednesday, and you can still hear the pain, not only the pain in Marcus's voice, but you can also hear the expectation the expectation that justice will be served. And we, as Transformative Justice Coalition, we are involved in this fight because justice has to be served, but also for every other African-American child who wants to just run, who wants to be out there in the wind, filling the pavement, having the joy of your body, moving in, in synchrony with the world, with nature, to be able to do that and not worry about somebody saying you don't belong and we're going to kill you because we assume anybody of your kind is a criminal. Yes, that has to stop. And TJC, we're proud and we're grateful that God allows us to do this work and that we can stand side by side with the Arbery family, side by side, Daryl.
Yeah. And, Barbara, and it's not just the Transformative Justice Coalition. While we may be doing a lot of the work and leading much of the way, we're really excited to stand with the community. We're excited to really come out to show their support for the family. The NAACP for the state of Georgia, Brother Gerald Griggs, has just been awesome, just an assistance. C.K. Hoffler from Rainbow Push, has just been outstanding in terms of her support and what she's done. It really has been a community that has come together to surround the Arbery family, to surround this case, and to do all that we can to be certain that justice for Ahmaud is going to be served. Barbara, one of the things people should probably be aware of is that this time through, with this case, with Jackie Johnson, the prosecutor that's going to be prosecuting the case is the Attorney General's office in the state of Georgia. So we'll have a different prosecutor. There'll be a different judge, and we'll be there in the courtroom to be certain that that things are going as we believe they should be going fairly for the Arbery family.
So mark your calendars, people. It's always been so important that we've had community support. Mark your calendars. If you're able to be in Georgia, in Brunswick, on the mighty dates of January 21st, when this trial will start, be sure, to join us if you can, because it means a lot to the family to see people there for them. The worst thing that family ever went through was the feeling of isolation, right? When the video came out, there were these massive, beautiful, necessary, critical, powerful marches in the midst of COVID. It sparked everything before Breonna Taylor, before George Floyd. It was the first real big outpouring. And then, of course, with time, the crowds dissipated. The attention was gone. And the family started losing heart and fearing that they were by themselves. It's so critical to stand with a family in crisis. We know how we heal each other when we're in crisis, when we're able to hold each other, hug each other, look each other in the eye and say, we'll get through this together. That's what it takes. And that's why TJC will be there. We are on our way. And we look forward to seeing people, not only for the few who will be there tomorrow, but for the real major trial in January. Join us January 1st. Again, you want more information? Go to tjcoalition.org. tjcoalition.org. And I want to, Daryl, give a shout out to some donations people have made to us while we've been on the air. Thank you, people. Thank you. We need it. We appreciate it. It keeps our work going. It makes it possible for TJC to do this mighty work. Thank you so much. So, Daryl, folks are losing their minds, right? They're all upset. They don't know what to do. They're mad, they say, about the pardon about President Biden pardoning his son, Hunter Biden. And they're saying that's not right. He said he wasn't going to do it, and he went ahead and do it and did it. He lied to the folks, and this is just outrageous. Whoever heard of such a thing? This is terrible, terrible, terrible. Who can believe that this is happening? But Daryl, actually, there's a long history, isn't there, when we talk about pardons, right?
Yeah, there is a long, long history when we talk about pardons, Barbara, but I want to go to another point that you just raised. You know, think about this. Think about this just for a moment. A father that has the ability to take the wrongness of the system off his son's throat, off his son's neck. Yes. He has the possibility. He has the power to take that boot off his son's neck. Why would a father not do that? You know, I hear the politics of it, and I hear you saying, oh, you know, President Biden promised he wasn't going to do it, he wasn't going to interfere. This is his son. And he sees what's getting ready to happen with the incoming administration. And he's like, ain't no way I'm going to let my baby boy suffer under the hand of what I see coming. So, yeah, I may have said, I ain't going to do it. But guess what? You call me whatever you want, I'm going to protect my baby boy.
and wait a minute, Daryl. It's not as if he's just speculating. You got a president out there, a, quote, incoming president-elect, even though he's acting like he's already in office, folks. You know, all these people walking these quarters, bothering the Senate. They shouldn't even be up there. They haven't even been formally nominated yet. He hasn't even been sworn in. But, they've done everything but park the darn moving van in front of the White House. The reality is he's not president until he's inaugurated, which won't be until January 20th. All of this, you know, kind of pretend like he's president now. It's just silly. But in the interim, he's been threatening the January 6th commission, talking about all these people he's going to, you know, get vengeance for, and that he's got to, you know, hold them accountable because they, you know, they persecuted him. And at the same time, while folks are, you know, talking about Biden pardoning his son, come on, folks, you know, remember the incoming, quote, president-elect pardoned all of those folks. That, you know, Roger Stone, come on now. Steve Bannon, come on now. He gave clemency for all of these people who were not accused of investigating, not accused of, you know, gun charges or whatever, but were actually helping with corruption to overturn our, you know, lawful elections. Come on, Daryl. What's all this crybaby stuff about we mad? I mean, heck, Bill Clinton, he pardoned his own brother, Roger. Come on now. Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon before there could even be one formal charge brought against him. And that was probably the worst pardon in the history of this country. Come on, you know, there's a history to these pardons. Don't act like they just started yesterday. I'm with you, Daryl.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There is a clear history that's there to the pardons. And yeah, I think, you know, Barbara, one of the things that that we've got to remember is that there are people that I think should still be pardoned by President Biden before he leaves office. There's no reason that Jesse Jackson Jr. should not receive a full pardon from President Biden before he leaves office. Reason that Marilyn Mosby and Baltimore should not be fully pardoned before he leaves office. I mean, there's so many people that are on federal death row as well that need to be, you know, considered for some type of relief as well, Barbara, because we know that with Jesse Jackson Jr. as well as with Marilyn Mosby, those are two well-deserving people in terms of presidential pardons.
Come on, you know, Marilyn Mosby's whole prosecution still confounds me. You know, it just doesn't make sense for, quote, a gift letter that her husband did that wasn't, quote, people felt it was too, quote, underhanded or whatever. People, come on. You know, I just think that, you know, we know why Marilyn Mosby was prosecuted. We know that people didn't like her because she